Last week I shared with you a little bit about God being our Savior, and I want to talk again about God being our Savior, and specifically, just how close God is to each one of us, how close He is to us tonight, how close He is to you, even tonight. And the picture up here tonight that Kirk painted says a God who saves in Hebrew. And if you look at the card in front of you, if you flip to the back, there's a verse I want to focus on tonight again. And it's the third one down, second one down. It says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear." Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear, from Isaiah 59. And I just want to talk about how very near God's arm is to each one of us. And I'll just start with a story. I was preaching this last Sunday at a church up in Streeter, and I was talking about God being with us. And I felt the night before that I was supposed to not just tell people that God will be with you, but to let them know that God is with them right there in that moment. And just like tonight, I just want to let you know that God is here with us in this moment. Jesus said, "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there." And certainly we're more than two or three tonight gathered in his name. And that would mean that he is here. And so I was going to preach this message, and before I preached, I went to the church early. I was there about half an hour early, and so I thought, I'm just going to sit and look at some of the scriptures, sit in my car and look, but I don't want to pull up to the church because then people will stop and they'll start talking to me, and I'd really want to have just a few moments just with God. And so I went about a block away from the church, and I was driving down the street looking for a little spot where I could park. I didn't want to park in someone's front yard, and it's a little creepy on Sunday morning that somebody's out there parking. And so I went by, saw this open field on the right, and I went, it was a dead end, I had to turn around, but there were some other houses there. And I decided just to park across the street from a house, but it was by this open field, and so I just parked there. And I just sat and I just started looking through some of the scriptures. I was looking through Mark and all the times when God was with people in the book of Mark and what happened in those moments. And as I'm sitting there in my car, another car comes towards me and it starts slowing down and slowing down. And I'm like, oh gosh, they live here. They're going to turn and pull in and they're going to say, "What are you doing in my front yard?" And they pulled right up to my window and rolled down their window. I rolled down mine. They said, "I can't believe you're parked here in a little red Mini Cooper. If you have that picture, just put it up there. My brother, who lives in this house, owned a little red Mini Cooper exactly like that, and he sold it a couple years ago. So as I pulled up here, I just couldn't believe that, why was that little red Mini Cooper parked in front of his house, which he had sold previously?" And in the town of Streeter, where I was preaching, there's about 14,000 people, and I lived there for about 10 years, and it's highly unlikely that there is another little red Mini Cooper anywhere in Streeter. And he said, in fact, he had removed the white racing stripes, which most Mini Coopers have. He had removed them just like yours has them removed on the front. And he said, "How strange is that, that you would be parked here?" And I said, "Well, I was just getting ready to preach a sermon, just look for a spot to park." And he said, "Well, this is just amazing." And he and his wife were in the car, and he said, "I'm going to have to tell my brother about this." And he drove on. And I sat there looking in the book of Mark at all the times when God was with someone. And, you know, sometimes he was with them in the boat. You know, there's a storm going on, and Jesus is right there in a boat with them. And he's walking on the water, and he gets in the boat, and he calms the storm, calms their hearts. I'm like, well, that doesn't happen to me today. I mean, Jesus doesn't like jump in my boat. Well, I don't jump in a boat. It's been a few years since I've been in a boat, but I'm in a car a lot every day. And Jesus jumped in to my Mini Cooper that morning. In fact, it wasn't my Mini Cooper. It's my daughter's. She's out of town for the week, and so I was just borrowing it since it was at her house. I hardly ever get to drive this car. I happened to drive it that day. I happened to park there half an hour before my sermon. I happened to park in front of the very house. And this couple, God had to direct them out of from wherever they came from to come down the street at that very moment and point out to me that this house is where a little red Mini Cooper ought to be. Which made me feel like I was right where I ought to be. And I was able to get up and share a message that God is with us. With total conviction, total confidence that God really is with us. And what does that look like in our actual life? And what does that mean when he shows up in your car with you? I used to wonder, and I'd have these experiences where I'm like, wow, God, that's you. Just like the two disciples walking down the road to Emmaus, and Jesus is walking right with them, and they don't recognize him, and then later he breaks bread with them, and all of a sudden they recognize him, and then he's gone, and they're like, that was Jesus. Oh my God, he was right here. And I used to wonder, what do I do with experiences like that? Am I supposed to go talk to the guy who owns the house? Does he want me? And I've come to the conclusion over years and years of having this happen that a lot of times God just wants to say, I'm with you, Eric. I'm right here with you. I'm not asking you to do anything. I just want you to know that I am with you. About a month ago, I had another unusual experience where I was fully awake. I was just thinking about being in the river of life, this great river that God takes us on. And I was having this conversation with God, and I'm picturing myself in this river, and God says, are you sure you want to take this? Do you want to go ahead and take this river? I said, yeah, I do. And he said, well, Jesus is over there on the shore standing next to a kayak. You can just go over to him, and you can go in this river. And I said, that sounds awesome. And I was like, can he like pull me over? And can he throw me a rope and pull me over? And God's like, you can swim, Eric. You can swim. Just a little reminder that, you know, sometimes we need him to pull us, and other times he's like, you can do this. You can do this. So I'm like, okay, I'll go swim. I swam over to the shore. I get up to Jesus, and I look down. There's two seats in the kayak, and I'm like, so do I sit in the front, or do I sit in the back if I'm going to go with Jesus on the river? And I'm going to just share just what I had written that day as I was writing this down. And God said, there's actually only one seat. He's in you, and you're in him. Like he's in me, and I'm in him. And then I saw those two seats just start swirling round and round and round until the front was in the back was in the front, and all of a sudden there was just one seat. And God said, one seat, one person, two beings. I asked, who's in control? God said, you're both in control. You move your arm, he'll move his. If you let him, he'll move his arm, and it will move yours. You're both in complete control at all times. You both will move as one to the extent that you're going in the same direction. You'll both have to yield to the other if you want to go in different directions. But he will be as glad to go in the direction you choose as you will be glad to go in the direction he chooses. It's truly a joint effort, truly a partnership. And then I put my hand on this steering stick in front of me. Kayaks don't really have one, but there's this stick in my vision. And his hand, contained within mine, went with it simultaneously. And then he put his hand back at his side, and mine naturally follows it. And so began the journey. And I just love that the arm of the Lord is not too short to save. In fact, the arm of the Lord is about as long as your arm. If you have accepted Jesus Christ, if you have invited the Holy Spirit to come in you, I don't know how you picture it. I used to picture it like a little light inside my heart or something. The Holy Spirit's in me. But no, he's a being, and he inhabits your body, and your arm is his arm. And your feet are his feet. Your words can be his words to the extent that you let them be. Your eyes can be his eyes. Your ears can hear with his ears. Your heart can feel what he can feel. The arm of the Lord is about this long on me. I don't know how long it is on you. About your length, I'm guessing. And you can go, you have free will to go any direction you want. You can take your feet, you can go wherever you want. And Jesus will go right along with you. Sometimes he may cry as he goes. Sometimes he may plead with you, please, let's not go there. Sometimes he'll rejoice with you and say, yes, this is where I want to be. Sometimes you'll be worshiping God and he'll say, yes, this is what I want you to do with your arms. And then some days he'll say, hey, I'd like to go over here. You want to come with me? And you can say yes. Or you can say no. But if you say yes, you are in for an incredible experience. Maybe the next day he'll say, where do you want to go? And you say, I would really love to do this. And he's like, that sounds awesome. Let's go do that. Does this give you a different perspective of Jesus being with you? God being with you? I just want to encourage you, remind you, let you know that God is with you. And I mentioned last week, just if you want an exercise, you can just look through the book of Mark, like I did a week ago, and just went through scripture after scripture. It's 16 chapters. It's the shortest of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the stories about Jesus. And I just started circling every time that Jesus was with someone and what happened when he was with them. It was incredible. People were healed. People were saved. People were forgiven. People's lives were changed. And I shared last week how my life was changed. And I'll close with this. But last week, I wasn't quite sure if I was going to mention this book. I had written this book, 50 Shades of Grace, and it talks about my journey because I had been involved in sexual activity with men as well as with women back when I was younger. And God said, Eric, that's going to kill you if you do that. I don't want you to die. And when I heard God speak that, it just quickened my heart, and I said, God, I don't want to die either. I don't know how to change. I don't know what I can do. And then God showed me that Jesus came to die for my sins, and he would send his Holy Spirit to help me do whatever God wanted me to do. And I put my faith in Christ that day, turned my life around, and I have never gone back in 30 years. Never gone back. Never gone back. Not for lack of temptations or all kinds of opportunities, but because God said, I don't want you to die. And when you sin, you will have consequences, ultimately death. So I wrote all this in a book about a year ago. I wasn't sure I wanted to share it last week because the high school team was leading worship, and I was like, oh, you know, I'm not sure if I should share this. And I know, I understand high school, I get it. But I also, like, there's a lot of stuff in here that I'm like, I'm not sure their parents want me to, like, expose them to this. Well, after I shared that I had written this, I went ahead and shared it, and I came up to the worship team to tell them, great job, it's a different worship team. And two of the girls said, I can't believe you're the one who wrote that book. I read that book, and it was awesome. It was incredible. And then she gave it to her friend and said, that is the best book. I just thought it was incredible. I wrote it under a pen name, Nicholas Deere, so they had no idea who I was. So here I'm embarrassed, going, oh gosh, I don't want these kids. And I almost shortchanged an opportunity for God to speak again. I don't want to shortchange God in those opportunities. God is with us. He will nudge you in the right direction. Follow him. His arm surely is not too short to save. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for coming. Thank you for being with us. Lord, as we finish out with a final worship song, Lord, I just pray that you would help us realize that you are with us even now, in this moment, right here in the Foundry in Eastview in Normal, Illinois. Lord, for whoever might be listening to this later, I pray that you would know, they would know that you are with them, whether they're in a little red Mini Cooper or a boat or walking along the road, Lord. Let them know that you are with them, and let them know what a difference it makes to be in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.